You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We know very, very little, simply that the bombardment has resumed and it seems to be even heavier than in any of the preceding days.
I prepared my son, my brother-in-law, my nephew, my cousin, my neighbor, my friend.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of panic in Homs.
One voice that has perhaps given us some of our most vivid accounts coming out of Syria this week is Paul Wood, intrepid reporter with our partner, the BBC, one of the few reporters to actually get inside of Homs, and we have his latest dispatch here for you.
We're sitting cross-legged on the floor having a very pleasant breakfast of bread and olive oil, and Abu Yamin is telling us just how this bread got here.
There isn't any bakery here. It was hit and the workers got wounded. So they have to get bread from outside. When they blocked this area, they ran out of bread. And this friend of theirs, Abu Shahir, knew that there is no bread here. So he decided to make the suicide mission. And without telling anybody, he put a lot of bread in his car from Khaldiyya and just drove, and they started shooting at him from all directions.
This is the bread we're eating now, is it?
Yes.
The man who brought the bread is the same man who transports the injured. Those who don't make it end up with Abu Suleiman. Before the revolution, he was a building labourer. Now he works full-time as the mukaffin, the person whose job it is to prepare bodies for burial. He wraps each one carefully in a white shroud. He's done this for hundreds of people now, among them many members of his own family.
Said, yes, it's a very difficult job. All these people I know, all these people are my brothers. It's very difficult. I prepare my son, my brother-in-law, my nephew, my cousin, my neighbor, my friend. But somebody has to do it. And the least I can do for them is to do this job. Yeah. This is the least I can do.
Paul Wood reporting from Homs with our partner, the BBC, all week long has been helping us to understand what's going on there. And to help us perhaps understand the broader context of the future in Syria, we've got still Sarab al-Jajakli with us, co-founder of the National Alliance of Syria, which is a pro-democracy group. And joining us now, Fareed Ghadri, the Syrian-born co-founder and president of the United States-based Reform Party of Syria, which is lobbying for regime change in Syria. Fareed, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Explain to me, when we look at the future of Syria, who are the leaders who are emerging from the opposition who might be able to, let's assume that there will be a post-Assad era, that might be able to lead the country forward?
Well, I think Syria and the opposition today has many faces, new faces, and many people that have come to the scene lately that are responsible enough, that have the background and the wisdom to carry Syria into the new millennium, or at least into the new era. It's imperative upon these leaders, and I support them wholeheartedly to take that responsibility seriously, and we hope that they will be able to achieve their goals.
Is there a need for international intervention? Can the civil war in Syria be resolved without, say, the participation of other countries or the Arab League stepping in?
I think for the last 11 months, Europeans, the U.S. especially, and the Arab League have been trying every single angle to try and stop the violence. And I think post the veto by China and Russia, everybody's coming to the realization that this is going to be an impossible task, that Assad is not willing to stop the violence, and his friends are not willing to drop him. And so, you know, being in Washington and having friends inside and outside the government, I can tell you that this debate is heated right now, and there are plans that are being drawn to actually save the country and to actually stop the violence against our people.
Fareed Ghadri is with the United States-based Reform Party of Syria, and with us all hour long has been Sohrab Ojojakli, co-founder of the National Alliance of Syria. And Sohrab, you're both with opposition groups, but help us understand, because there's all kinds of opposition groups in Syria, all with different names. Do they all also have different missions and philosophies?
Sure. The political opposition inside and outside of Syria is very diverse and represents really the diversity that is the Syrian nation. You have everything from leftists all the way through conservatives. And I think externally you have this network of technocrats who have come together under umbrella and have created things like the SNC, the Syrian National Council. You have on the inside activists, local grassroots activists who are coordinating the peaceful pro-democracy protests throughout the nations, local coordinating committees who are coordinating responses of their towns and villages inside Syria. And while many of these opposition groups all have the common theme that they want to oust the Bashar al-Assad regime, you know, many people have different ideologies at that. I think it's also important to note that many former regime elements who are very senior and have taken part in suppressing the Syrian people over the last 40 years are now trying to lay claim and call themselves opposition, which is so far from the truth. These people such as Abdel Halim Khaddam,
Some of them may actually be working for the Syrian regime still.
Yeah, and many of them will still be working for the regime still as double agents, per se. There's also Rifat al-Assad, the brother of Hafez al-Assad, who now considers himself
Bashar
over the last few years.
Uncle.
Bashar al-Assad's uncle, who considers himself in opposition. But these people are laughed at. It's also important to note that the Syrian people will not accept an externally fabricated opposition. And this is an important thing to note for the international community and also those who are trying to lay influence in the nation.
Well, Fareed Ghadri, let me take this back to you. You're with the Reform Party of Syria. I mean, you've seen what's happened in other countries. You see some of the turmoil going on in Egypt and the militias rising in Libya that they say are tearing that country apart. Could some of these diverse arguing opposition groups in a post-Assad Syria, again, that's an assumption, could that lead into further struggles? Could it lead to just struggles between the opposition groups themselves?
Well, democracy is about diversity. Democracy is about people exchanging views, debating issues, and negotiating deals. So I see the diversity of Syria as an advantage, not at a disadvantage. What we need to do is make sure, or the international community, help the Syrian people inside and outside come to terms with the vision of what Syria ought to be or what Syria needs to be, and then agree on that vision collectively and work with the people of Syria to actually implement all the, you know, that vision. I think the diversity is an advantage, is an opportunity, as a matter of fact, rather than a liability for us at this point.
Does make it messy, though. That's Fareed Ghadri, Syrian-born co-founder and president of the U.S.-based Reform Party of Syria. Also still with us, Sohrab Ojojakli with the National Alliance of Syria. Sohrab, what are you hoping for Syria? Are you hoping for a constitution and a democratic government, which is popularly elected? Are you hoping for a more of a monarchy-based thing? What do you see the country becoming?
The vision of this revolution is grounded in recognizing and embracing a pluralistic society founded on democratic principles. That's what this revolution is all about. It's about freedom. It's about dignity. It's about ousting any sort of mafia-style corruption in the nation. And I think at the end of the day, what we're all hoping for and what we know is that this revolution will, at the end of the day, succeed. It's just a matter of time and how many Syrians will die in the process.
After that revolution succeeds, as you've seen in other countries, it's still messy.
It will get messy, but that's our mess to clean up. For 40 years, the Syrian people have suffered, and it will take a little bit of transition time, I think, post-Assad. But that's what the Syrian people are willing to do. And what we've seen over the last 10, 11 months is that there are thousands of young Syrians all around the country who are willing to put their lives on the line to support this future vision of a free and democratic Syria.
Sohrab Ojojakli, co-founder of the National Alliance of Syria Pro-Democracy Group. Thank you so much. You've been with us all hour long. Also, Fareed Ghadri with the United States-based Reform Party of Syria. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
To get to that revolutionary moment, how many people in Syria will have to die? Let's leave you with that thought. We can speak freely here about the future of Syria, and we must be grateful for that. Meanwhile, inside that country, behind the curtain of violence and isolation enforced by the regime of Bashar Assad, people cannot speak so freely about the future, even if they believe they have one. We leave you with the latest dispatch from a cameraman working right now in the besieged city of Homs this morning. Holding his camera, standing in front of a pile of rubble in the city of Homs. Finally, the words of Syrian poet Nizar Kabani about his beloved Damascus. I've come to you from the laughter of Syrian women that first taught me music in the beginning of adolescence, from the first sprouts of our alley that first taught me crying, and from my mother's prayer rug that first taught me the path to God. Damascus, what are you doing for me? I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.